and still we rise. Every person who has been marginalized understands. Every person who has been told you cannot, we can understand that important message of rising again and again. As we celebrate, in particular, Maya Angelou and Black History Month, thinking about the many ways that our country, our heritage, has left us with some people ground to dust again and again, having to rise up in spite of it. But I'm going to take a moment and I'm going to pivot to another group that is sometimes marginalized, often marginalized, even within our own faith. For I am here, as many things, a full and complex human being, a UU minister, a white person, an educator, ethnically Jewish, an environmental activist, genderqueer, a member of the Transgender Religious Professional Unitarian Universalists Together, a really long name, often called by the acronym TRUST, which sounds a lot easier to say. I'm also a deeply nerdy human and a theologian, a complex person like each and every one of you. There are entire galaxies of blessed complexity swirling within me each and every day, as the Reverend Teresa Inez Soto wrote in our opening words. But today, we'll talk about one of these identities in particular. And oddly, not the fact that I'm a UU minister, even though I'm here with a whole sermon sitting in front of me. I'm here because genderqueer identity, transgender identity, is one that is currently living on the edge of Unitarian Universalism's margins, and in the wider world as well. Debates rage across our media, the internet, school boards, about important questions like, should people like me be allowed to use bathrooms? And also, I wonder if those people should get to have pronouns. These questions are hotly argued, as if my very presence tears at the fabric of reality and needs to be defended against. In the midst of being involved in conversations about something totally unrelated, theology, spiritual practice, the importance of Doctor Who in popular culture, mentioning that I also use they and them pronouns can drag an entire conversation I was excited to have into a death spiral around grammatical questions. It makes me wonder sometimes if my actual gender is a black hole, swallowing up all of the other things I was excited to be talking about in social space, one by one. Nothing able to escape from the event horizon of the pronoun conversation. But on other days, I remember why it's worth it. I recall how it felt before I had words to talk about my gender at all. How uncomfortable it was, being that crayon wrapped in the wrong paper wrapper. It was like trying to fit into a bathing suit that I'd outgrown, just a constant awareness that my assigned gender was too constricting, that I couldn't quite move normally at my full range of motion. I was always eager to get somewhere private where I could take off that suit and finally get one full breath. I grew up Unitarian Universalist, not in some denomination that was extremely conservative. I grew up in this faith, And my congregation went through welcoming congregations when I was in high school. But at the time, transgender people were seen as very strictly binary, moving from male to female, or female to male, made to perform the gender that they were transitioning to with precision and accuracy in order to earn hormonal and surgical approvals from doctors and psychologists who saw reassigning gender as a performative contest. I believed I couldn't be transgender at all because I couldn't imagine spending all that effort to peel out of that ill-fitting suit only to get right back into a different one that would fit me just as badly. So I decided my gender must just be very angry about the patriarchy. And that worked for a few years, sort of. It was like red trying to color a fire. Definitely angry, spiky squiggles, but something was still off. And then I read a Kate Bornstein book and realized there were names for people like me. Words. Gender Outlaws was the book. That one could be a gender outlaw or gender queer. There were people who were messing with, queering the concept of gender by not being one of two endpoints on a spectrum, but moving all along that spectrum, creating our own points wherever we set up shop. The modern term, if you're talking with the youth of today, is non-binary, or often NB for short. So here's the thing about my journey and about language. Once you can name something, you can hold on to it. You can imagine it in the world. You can put it in different scenarios and situations in your mind. You can repeat it, keep it, share it, grow into it. Once you have a name, whether it's blue or trans or the pronoun they, you can finally talk about your existence and tell stories and make meaning, much as religion does for us. People who can talk about themselves can find other people and form communities. And just like that, you become someone who is not alone, but part of an interconnected creation. Many of you haven't had this experience around gender. Maybe some of you have. But some of you, many of you perhaps, have had this experience about becoming a Unitarian Universalist. Walking through the doors of a church, perhaps at coffee hour after the first time you came, thinking, I didn't know there was a place for people like me. People who felt this way about theology. People who thought this way, felt this way about the world. That's the power of a name for identity, connecting, growing, thriving, knowing that's who I am, that's where I fit in the world. Rabbi Mike Moskowitz, an Orthodox rabbi at the congregation Bet Simchat Torah, says, religion is about being able to be in a relationship with God. But if we don't create space for people to be who they are as the most genuine, authentic versions of themselves, then none of this is real. I know that for Unitarian Universalists, on the one side of that relationship, we've already stretched. For us, the God equation includes space for relationships with the divine or with our highest values, with our aspirations, with our covenanted community. We have found a way to amplify space for many people on the theological and the God end of that relationship. And now I'm also asking that we allow the human end of that relationship to flourish around sexuality, around gender, around race, all of the people who sit on the margins wondering if there's a space for them as human beings in relationship with whatever that is our highest value. The genuine and authentic concept of self. That's what we're hoping to include. So I want to pause for a moment, ask you to feel your way back into your body, because we've been talking what may feel a little theoretical. And for so many of us, the ways that we were taught about gender associates in our bodies with shame or with discomfort. Somewhere down in the deep reaches of your body, just breathe. There might be a shrinking embarrassment from being young, mixing up the words girl and boy and being laughed at, or not getting the difference between using she when talking about your mom and he to talk about your dad. Hearing impatience or anger in a voice correcting you. Perhaps you played dress up and were confidently told by a playmate that you can't even pretend to be a person who wears those clothes. They're not for your gender, and you can never be that. If you have those feelings, breathe through it. And keep breathing. It's important that we learn this kind of resilience to remember, to know where our stories and our narratives and our assumptions have come from. And it's important that we check back in with our bodies, because our feelings and what we believe are intimately connected. And until you know how to stay with your whole self and see the wholeness of another person, it doesn't matter if I tell you how Shakespeare and Jane Austen used singular they in their literary works. It doesn't matter if I can tell you that suicide rates for trans teens drop by over 40% if they have at least one supportive adult in their lives who uses their pronouns. It doesn't matter how many languages there are on this planet that can talk about a person without making gender the first detail that's linguistically necessary for the conversation. It doesn't matter that in the Jewish and Christian tradition of creation, when God created the first human, God created that person, male and female at once, and spoke of that human with gender-neutral terms until that gender-fabulous person was drawn apart from the sides to become two creatures. It doesn't matter how many facts, how many stories, how much evidence there is to support trans and non-binary experiences until we know how to breathe into our embodied selves and feel deeply that inside you are entire universes, milky blue, magenta, and gold expanding. It matters if we each live into that promise, the promise of caring for one another as people of faith, people who truly understand that our Unitarian Universalist faith and our covenant calls us to believe nothing in particular, but to affirm and promote our seven principles, to live into those words, knowing that they become true if we live as if they already are. Way back before I began this sermon, I spoke of Maya Angelou for just a moment. She's a fierce and fabulous Black woman, speaking to the beautiful resilience of choosing to rise when the world insists that you stay down. And she would know. Black people, and especially Black women, have been shoved down for centuries in this country. And she said, "You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still, like dust, I'll rise." And pondering her words, I think there are two kinds of ways that we can be like dust with one another. One option is to act as individuals, as fully self-interested beings. We end up competitively, or even just unthinkingly, treading on one another, kicking one another up in our paths, trampling each other like the dust of the earth, causing us to need to arise from our adversity, to be the swirling glories of the universe in spite of the actions of others. It's a rather Tennyson-esque experience. Nature is red in tooth and claw. It's very social Darwinist. But alternatively, we can choose a more intentional path, each being like a gentle wind that moves in the depths of space, across a desert, in eddies and swirls, helping the rising, glittering sweep of one another to become faster, wider, more magnificent for each other. It's a powerful choice to decide you will notice another person, to help them become more able to thrive. And this, I believe, is the path that the interdependence of covenant asks of us as people of faith, to hesitate before we might cause harm, to use intention in our words and our actions. Because whether I trample or uplift is not about whether I'm a good person or a bad person. It's a series of small choices requiring me to notice how different people move through the world. Which way does this person's life spin? What is fragile in this universe? So where can I help and uplift? And this is the work of religious community, building trust, bringing community into being, helping one another to become the best, most authentic selves we can be. To return to the words of the Rabbi Moskowitz, he says, "No one's life is ever hypothetical. God does not put extra people in this world. And being trans is not an issue with God or with Torah. It is an issue with people and the way we are able to affect systemic change is by making this personal. So here I am, as a member of the Unitarian Universalist community, hoping that my personhood, your personhood, our personhoods, can meet in mutual respect, that each of you will name me as I name you with tender care. care, because our shared faith asks it of all of us. May it be so, and blessed be.